Awesome, awesome. Thanks, Cole. That was awesome, brother. Hey, man, I am so excited. I am excited about what God is doing in your lives right now. I'm excited about what God is going to do in your life. I'm excited about what God is doing in our church right now. Look at this place. It's Labor Day weekend, you know? I think we're getting God on this morning, you know? This is awesome, man. I'm really super excited about what God is going to do over the next 6-7 weeks at River Run. We're going to launch into a new series starting next week called Freeway, a not-so-perfect guide to freedom. And we've been talking about Made for Mondays for the last several weeks in a row. And this is a series that this is the perfect opportunity that we have set up for you who are Christ followers to go and invite your friends to come to River Run. This will be a series that will walk through whether you're a mature believer in Christ or you're just a seeker trying to figure out this whole journey of faith thing and who God is. This will be a series that lays out, we start with the prodigal son next week, and we're going to walk through and how you can have more peace, you can have more joy, you can have more hope and less anxiety, and you can have the hope of eternal salvation through this series. I just want to strongly, strongly encourage you to invite your friends to come. Friends that aren't connected to other churches, we're not trying to draw from other churches, not at all. We're trying to help people who are disconnected from God, those who have given up on church, those who have given up on God, and those who are seeking, who have never even experienced the love, and the peace, and the joy, and the happiness that comes from the Father. Well, today, I want to do a message that sort of sets us up for that, because it's good for us to prepare ourselves spiritually for what God is about to do. Many of you know that it was about three months ago, June 1st, however long that was, Michelle and I had the opportunity, after 10 years of praying and searching and looking, we bought a new piece of property in Christmas. It's actually on this side of Christmas. It's right down the road from the church here, about 10 minutes away. I can actually ride my motorcycle back and forth to the church and not even hit a stoplight. On Sunday mornings, sometimes I don't even pass a car. It's absolutely amazing. We were kind of out there. We were praying for 2 or 3 acres, and God just opened up this opportunity for us, and we have 3 acres of land, and it's been fantastic. Now, Michelle is like, she is an amazing interior decorator. She just has an eye for that thing. And we bought a fixer-upper type place because the only way that we would be able to afford that. And so we've lived in the neighborhoods with zero lot lines for 20 years in Oviedo. Been praying about this. And so it's been fantastic. But one of the reasons that we've been able to afford it is because it needs so much work. I mean, this thing is like, I've lost 17 pounds. You can't tell it because I need to lose a whole lot more. But I've lost 17 pounds just from working on the property. I want to show you a picture. This is in the front yard here. This is what my front yard looks like. No joke. I mean, I'm telling you, this has a lot of work to do. A lot of work to do. I would love to have an open house and have you guys come over with your chainsaws. And so this is like the first picture. But I just want to show you what a little bit of work will do. You know, just a little bit of work. This is a picture of the same kind of, go to the next picture. The same one here. So this is just a little bit more that I've cleared out. And then this was just Friday right here. So I just did this Friday afternoon. I took that spot, cleared that all out. That was a ton of work. Let me tell you, that was a ton of work, back-breaking work. And now the area is ready to seed. I've gotten almost every rock out of there. I've gotten every stump out of there. I've gotten every root out of there that I could get out. And now it's ready to throw seed on there. And then once we throw the seed on there, God's been doing a really good job at watering it lately, you know, right? And let me show you another picture. Now, this is not for this area, but it's another picture that I've been clearing out these sections as we go. This was just 13 weeks ago that looked like the first picture. And this is the grass. That center part of the grass is growing. And I tell you, when I sow that seed, I go out there every day with anticipation after the rains have come. And I'm like looking to see, you know, did it come up yet? Nothing, you know. I get my phone out and just kind of do the magnifier thing. Nothing. I go out there the next day. And when I see that seed actually take form and start to come up out of the ground, I'm like, yes, man, I've got this seed. It's coming up. The seeds are good, you know. And so the grass will start growing. It's amazing when you do that kind of work, you know, how excited you are just to have the grass grow. But let me tell you, the same thing is true. And when I see you guys who finally get it in your mind, and the grass seed begins to grow and it begins to sprout. And as I'm out there on my tractor and as I'm out there working and sweating, I was thinking about this. I was thinking about this whole message and how this relates to our spiritual journey, how this relates to our spiritual life. And when we clear out the debris in our lives, When we dig out the stones, when we move them out of the way, when we get rid of the rocks and the stumps and the soil is properly prepared, and when the seeds of faith and righteousness and the seeds of a life lived out with purpose and meaning and happiness and joy and fulfillment, and then those seeds are sown, and God adds a little bit of water, and his son, not the S-U-N, but S-O-N, son, begins to do his work in you, man, things are going to happen. Things are going to change in your life. And I get excited about that. That energizes me. It's why I get up in the morning. It's why I want to do this, to see the seeds of the faith growing. And I think you guys are going to experience that over this season, over this next season and going into the fall. When I see people finally get it and realize that this is not some game that we're playing, it isn't some self-help thing to make us feel a little better about life thing. This is a real purpose for our being. It's living in community with God and each other through the Holy Spirit and what God has done through Jesus, his son. I know January 1st is always a good time for a reset, you know? We do that every January. It seems like we reset. We kind of evaluate what the year was like, and we do a reset. We make all kinds of, like, resolutions and all those things. And I think Labor Day is a good time for a mid-year reset. When I was growing up, it was a season, Memorial Day to Labor Day. That was our summer season. I know school's already started, but it's, to me, like, Labor Day is kind of the end of summer. That's my official end of summer, in my mind anyway, as we move into the fall. And I think this is a good time for us to reset and to take a look and take a real good hard evaluation look at our own spiritual journey. And I believe that if we can just dig in together as a church family for the next 10, 12 weeks together, just what would happen? I want to see us dig in like we've never dug in before for 10, 12 weeks. And maybe just after 12 weeks of what that grass grew, maybe we can see some kind of fruit like that happen in our church. So I was thinking about this whole thing about the good soil and preparing the soil. And as I was on the tractor, I was thinking about this. And Jesus talks about this in Matthew 13. So if you have your Bibles with you, turn, go ahead and turn there. I'm going to set this up a little bit for Matthew 13. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation, but you can read from whatever version. And I want you to kind of get the whole text down. I want you to read the entire chapter. I'm going to take two sections of it today. Matthew 13. Here's a little bit of the background. Jesus is talking in parables. What's a parable? A parable is an earthly story with a much greater meaning. An earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Some of you, if you've grown up in the church, you may have heard that. And Jesus loved to tell stories. He taught by telling stories. We love stories here at River Run too. We tell lots of stories. I tell lots of stories. I love to be telling stories all the time. And I love to tell stories about what God has done in your life and what God is going to do in our lives. And in Jesus' context in Matthew 13, most of the people, and when he's talking to these, most of these people are farmers. I'm a farmer now, by the way. I have 12 chickens. I'm looking for a goat. I'm looking for a small goat if anybody has a goat, you know. Anyway. So Jesus was talking, he was talking to either farmers or shepherds or cooks or servants or widows, because most men died early, they still do, you know. And so he's telling stories so that people would understand. So I think if Jesus were to come, you know, if his first trip to earth was, that sounded kind of weird, like he was an alien or something. But if his first trip was in 21st century America, he would probably tell stories using things like the iPhone. Or maybe he would relate a Snapchat or Facebook or social media. Or maybe he would talk about your car breaking down. And he would use that as an earthly story to bring about some heavenly meaning. In this case today, he's talking about something that just about everybody in the crowd in his day would understand. And that's a farmer sowing seeds. And so at the beginning of Matthew's account here in chapter 13 of Jesus, remember, this is just a good memory for us. Matthew was written by Matthew. It wasn't written by some monk 500 years later that's writing about some legend or story about Jesus. This was written by Matthew, who was a despised sinner. He was a despised sinner by the religious leaders, and Jesus came and rocked his world, changed his world. He became a disciple. He became a follower of Jesus, and he became one of the most influential people in the early Christianity. And he's writing this account. So just want you to put that in your mind. He's writing this account as an eyewitness. He was there. And he starts by saying, so I was with him, and Jesus gets into the boat because the crowds are pressing in on him. So he gets in the boat and he goes off just a little bit off the shore so he can have some space. And so the crowd's all sitting up there on the bank. And it's almost like a natural amphitheater for Jesus. He doesn't have a bullhorn. He doesn't have a Mr. Microphone. He doesn't have a sound system. So he's going to have to yell this thing out. And he's telling this story to the crowd. So if you can just envision that, if you can just picture that. I just picture Jesus saying this, listen up. Listen up, everybody. There was a farmer. And he went out to plant some seeds. And as he scattered them across his field, some seeds fell on a footpath and the birds came and ate them. Other seeds fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. And the seeds sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow. But the plants soon wilted under the hot sun, and since they didn't have deep roots, they died, Jesus says. Other seeds, they fell among thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants. Still other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they produced a crop that was 30, 60, even 100 times as much as had been planted. And then he does this. I love this. Anyone who has ears to hear should listen and understand. And it's like, boom, mic drop, you know, hopefully not in the water. And that's just like he ends this and he goes off. He shares this story for people and he goes off. Next thing we see in this passage, and I'm going to paraphrase this a little bit, but we see the disciples are like, what do you mean by this? Why do you tell so many stories? In the next part of the passage, Jesus is saying, not everyone, he's trying to help them understand this, not everyone is going to hear. Not everyone who hears is going to really, truly hear. And he starts explaining, the more that you lean in to my teachings, Jesus says, the more that you will hear and understand. We know that faith comes by hearing. And the greater your desire to understand, the more you will actually understand. But you have to press in. And that's the message for us too. We have to press in like never before. We have to dive deeper than we ever have before. We have to dig deeper than we ever have before as we strive to follow after Christ. And the more that you press in, the more that you will be able to understand the secrets of God, the mysteries of God. They begin to be unveiled in your life. And then he gathers the disciples together and he explains what this parable means. So just real briefly, I just want to explain this to us today. There are four soils. And I think every one of us in this room will be in one of these four categories. I don't think there's a fifth. I think Jesus got it right with this. There's four categories that each one of us can be in. Now, when I explain these different categories, I want you to do some soul searching. Whether you have been a Christian all of your life, or whether you're here seeking after God for the very first time, I want you to do some soul searching here and to see which category, if you're gut honest with yourself, which category are you in? So I'm going to jump down to verse 19 in Matthew 13. Matthew 13, verse 19. And these are the four types of soil. The first one is the hard soil, the footpath that Jesus talked about. It says, so as he's beginning to explain this, he says, the seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message about the kingdom and don't understand it. Then the evil one comes and snatches away the seed that was planted in their hearts. Do you guys hear that? Is that on somebody's phone? It's on everybody's phone? All right. Can we mute that? This is going to tie in really, really well. You might not think I'll be able to find a tie-in for this, but you just wait. This is going to be tied in really, really well. I want to read that again because I felt like we were distracted, okay? The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message about the kingdom and don't understand it. Then the evil one comes and snatches away the seed that was planted in their hearts. We all know what happens when we just throw the seed on hard ground without tilling it and without preparing the soil. When the rains come, it will just wash it away and birds will come and eat it. And the sun, S-U-N, will scorch it. These are the people with the hard soil of their life, the hard soil of their hearts. These are the people who hear. Listen, I'm telling you, it's coming in just a second. These are the people who hear, but they don't hear. They don't hear. Not everyone is going to receive the message of Christ. When you are telling your story of what God has done for us and in your life, not everyone is going to receive it. In fact, here's the tie-in to this Amber Alert, and I did not plan this in our creative planning. We have a great adversary, and the Bible calls him Satan. He has one goal, that is to keep you from hearing the gospel message of Jesus Christ, to steal, to kill, to destroy you. And one of the ways he does that is he keeps us from hearing. He keeps us from hearing the gospel message of Jesus Christ. And if your life represents the hard soil, you're not understanding what this whole life thing is about and the meaning of life and the purpose of life. Let me just share it with you. That Jesus Christ made the way. It was God, and he wrapped himself in flesh and stepped down onto planet Earth, lived a sinless life so that your sinful life and my sinful life could be paid for. He paid the ultimate price because we can't do enough good things. We can't be righteous enough. We can't do enough things to earn our way to heaven. So Jesus paid the way for us. That's the basic gospel message. And we're going to talk about that a whole lot more over the next 6 weeks. But Satan wants to fill our ears and our minds with things so we cannot hear and understand the basic, true gospel message and what the meaning of life itself is. Question for you. Where are you in your faith journey? Do you believe this thing that we speak of is real, or is your heart hardened? That's a fantastic question to ask. The next soil is the rocky soil. The rocky soil. Jesus says this when he's explaining it in verse 20. He says, the seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, I think we've talked about that a lot here at River Run, haven't we? Since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. Now, this is different from the hard path. I've actually noticed something about rocky soil. One section of my property is, there was a lot of rock around there where they'd made a driveway, and I was going to try to turn it into some grass area. And so I raked up the rock and grass, and I was going to try to let that grow up. And just like I was really excited, you know, I told you I went out there, I sowed this grass seed, and I looked at it, I'm like, oh, seeds are coming up. This is awesome. This is awesome. Grass is growing. Grass is growing. As quickly as that grass grew, it died. I have no grass in that area, even though it came up. And This is the thing, and I think there are so many people that this rocky soil relates to. There's just enough soil there to get the grass to grow, but then when the rains come and the sun comes, their roots haven't gone deep enough and they can't withstand it. These are the people who hear the message of Christ, and they have some mountaintop experience with God. Maybe they went through a crisis. Maybe they went through a crisis and they turned to God during this crisis. And then after the crisis abates, they find themselves back to the way they were before. Maybe they went on a retreat. Or students, you know. Maybe you went to some Christian camp or a mission trip. And you had this mountaintop experience. But when you came back from the experience, when you come down from the mountain, or when the crisis passed in our life, we quickly go back to the valley of our lives the way they were before. We don't do anything to cultivate the soil and the experience that we had with God working in our hearts. And this is where spiritual drift can happen so quickly, and deep roots are needed to survive. So question for you, can you relate to this? Can you relate to this? Did you go on a mission trip? Did you go to CIY? Maybe you went on a passion conference and you got all jacked up on Jesus, and then a month or two later, you know, you just found yourself right back where you were. Maybe there are those of us, we've been doing Rooted now, what, 2 or 3 years? Now something like that, 2.5 years. Maybe you went through Rooted initially or something like that, and you went on a retreat and you got all hopped up on Jesus and everything was going great, and then everything was amazing in your life, and then You didn't have intentionality to stay connected into a small group, and as quickly as you grew, you know, during those 10 weeks, you just started drifting because you didn't have a growth plan. Or you didn't have intentionality to continue with your journey. Has that happened to you? Has it happened to you? Just a little reminder for you, it's always okay. It's always okay. You don't ever have to ask this. It's always okay to jumpstart your faith again and go through Rooted, or to jump into a neighborhood group, or get plugged into community, because that's where we say it. We say it all the time, you know. We believe, we come here and we meet in rows for encouragement and worship, but we think life change happens in circles. We think life change happens in circles. So where are you at with that? Does your life represent the rocky soil right now? The third soil is the thorny soil, the weeds. The weeds. It says this: the seed that fell among the thorns represents those who hear God's word, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the worries of this life and the lure of wealth, and so no fruit is produced. The weeds are the distractions of this world. If this is you, and you're too busy, Pastor Tyler is going to be dealing with this specifically on September the 16th. How we can create space in our lives and the freedom that comes from space. I appreciated that about Cole this morning. That we didn't just jump right into worship. He just had this time where we had some space. The weeds are the things that crowd us out. They distract us from having the space that we need with God. Maybe for you, you're just too busy. That's your weeds in your garden right now. Now, we all know that money matters. We all know that money matters, but maybe for you, money matters a bit too much. And it's your desire and your drive to make another dollar that keeps crowding you out from the most important relationship that matters the most in your life, the relationship that you have with God. You had every intention of continuing in your walk, but this day-to-day hectic pace in your life, it's just too much for you, and it's just crowding it out and crowding it out and crowding it out. And everything that's grown in your faith before is just being crowded out from busyness and distractions in your life. I've noticed also that in some of the areas, and you guys know what palmettos are, right? Those saw palmettos. Those things, in my personal opinion, are the worst things on the planet. They are a huge, big weed to me, you know? I know some of you guys use them for decorations, that's fine, but not me. I want those things out of the ground. And if you don't get the entire thing out, it will just come right back. It will. They are just pestilence to me. And so I've gotten, in one of the areas, I got the whole thing cleared, ready to go, and then students, they pop up. They still pop up. I'm like, I thought I dug that whole thing out. And that's the way it is in our spiritual walk and our spiritual journey too. Just when we think we've got the land all cleared, we've got everything out, things still pop up. I would tell you, this journey is not, it's not a one-time thing. This is a lifelong journey. If God grants me life to be 80, I'm still going to be digging out saw palmettos on my property. And if God grants me life to 80 years old, I'm still going to be clearing rocks out in my personal life as well. There's always still work that God wants to do in us. We are never, ever done. So those are the three unproductive, the uncultivated soils in our lives that keep us from experiencing true joy and happiness and fulfillment and all the goodness of this life that God wants you to experience and have, and the goodness of our future. And if your life is the hard soil and you simply have no faith at all, I want to just give you this challenge. I want you to see what your life could be like if you just pressed in here for the next 10, 11, 12 weeks. Just press in with us. Press in. Let's shake this thing up a little bit for all of us. Let's shake this thing up a little bit for every single one of us in this room. Because many of you, what you're doing now is not working. We need to move. We need to move from here to there. We just need to move the spiritual needle forward in our life. Any movement's good when we're moving forward. But whatever you do, you can't stay here, right here where you're at. We know this happens in our lives. When you stay right where you're at, you end up drifting. You've got to be moving forward in your life. I want you to listen to this song, and I'll come back and give you the fourth soil. Jesus said that the seed that fell on good soil represents those who truly hear and understand God's word, and they produce a harvest of 30, 60, even 100 times as much as had been planted. We talk about movement all the time, church. What's your response today? Which soil, if you had to be gut honest with yourself, which soil are you? Are you the hard soil where you haven't even heard the truth of God's love for you? How much He loves you? How much grace that He's going to pour out on you? No matter how far away you feel like you've been from God. Does your life represent the hard soil? Are you listening? Can you hear this? Is your life the rocky soil? You've had a taste of God, but you haven't allowed your roots to go down deep and tap into the living waters of Jesus Christ, where you will never be thirsty again. Or is your life just so busy and everything's distracted and you just don't have time for God? Or are you growing richly in your faith? Is your soil good soil right now? Let's take some time here. Let's see what God wants to do with this space. Let's take 5 minutes. Let's see what God wants to do with this space. I want to invite those of you who want to move forward in your spiritual walk and in your spiritual journey. I want to invite you to come to the crosses, and we want to pray with you. We have some folks that their soil is fertile. We all have rocks in our gardens, but their soil is solid. They're producing fruit. They'd love to pray with you and talk with you and encourage you. So we'll be up here at the crosses. For some of you, I want to invite you to come to the tables. Those of you who have given your heart and life to Jesus Christ, come to the tables for communion, to break bread with us, to take the bread that represents the body of Christ, to take the blood, take the juice that represents the blood that was poured out for us. Also today, we're going to do something a little bit different. We have our offering receptacles on the tables. And so if you would like to make your offering or tithe this week, or come and pray about what you've already given online, we would like for you to make your offering up at the tables in the four stations as well. And some of you may want to just sit right where you're at and just spend some time going, what is your response? What is my response to this message today? But I'm going to invite us. Let me pray for you, and then we'll spend some time with God. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for being patient with us. Thank you for giving us the strength when we don't have the strength ourselves. Thank you for loving us the way that you love us. That your love for us is so amazing. That you will climb any mountain to find us. That you will go to the depths of whatever the deepest oceans are to find us. I pray that, God, we would dig into you like we never have before. I pray this in Jesus' name.